We're now in Unit 3, which is, you can think of it as the energy unit or the metabolism unit. They're both big themes in the unit. And the first of the three chapters is an introduction to metabolism. You should already know that metabolism is all of the chemical reactions that are occurring within an organism. But as we see in this opening slide, almost none of those thousands of different chemical reactions that make up metabolism are occurring in isolation, just as single reactions. Most of them, by far, are occurring as part of what we see represented here by this schematic, which is a biochemical pathway. A biochemical pathway is not a single reaction. It is an end-to-end or serial arrangement of chemical reactions. And what I mean by end-to-end is that, as we can see here, the first reaction, which of course has some sort of product or products, the product serves as the reactant in the next reaction, which then gets turned into its product, which is A gets turned into B, and then in the second reaction, B gets turned into C, whatever it is, and so on. Now, this happens to be three reactions long, but a pathway can be much longer than that. This just gives you the basic idea. And so, in any given chemical path, biochemical pathway, there is a starting reactant, and there is a final product after all the reactions in the pathway work. You can think of the final product, D, in this case, as the goal of the biochemical pathway. But another important point, and we've talked a little bit about this before, is that however many reactions are in the pathway, three in this case, each individual reaction requires its own enzyme to speed that reaction that's part of the pathway, speed that up. So you have three reactions, you have three enzymes. Now, what are enzymes, chemically speaking? That's a functional definition, it's true, yes. Enzymes are catalysts. What are they molecularly?
Proteins.
Proteins, exactly. Enzymes are proteins in organisms acting as catalysts. And an important thing to note about these enzymes in this picture is that each of them is shown above a reaction arrow, not on either side of the arrow. And that's because catalysts are not reactants, and they are not products. The reaction has whatever reactants that get turned into whatever products. The enzyme, the catalyst, is just helping that happen. The catalyst itself does not get turned into anything, and therefore catalysts in general, including enzymes, are reusable. After they have helped out reactant turning into product, they're available to do the same thing if there's more reactant there. So in a chemical reaction equation, an enzyme is never written to the right or to the left of the arrow. It's written above or below it. Not only are they not reactants or products, but enzymes are not, or catalysts in general, I should say, are not actually necessary for the reaction to occur. The only things that are necessary for the reaction to occur are the reactants. They get turned into products. But catalysts drastically speed up the reaction if the catalyst is present. And by speeding it up, I'm talking about at least millions of times faster. Now, in the case of the reactions that are occurring as part of metabolism, meaning the reactions that are occurring in organisms, those reactions without the help of a catalyst would be so slow that the cell and therefore the organism would not be able to live. So yes, I say that chemically catalysts are not necessary for reactions, but in biochemical reactions, living things, they're so slow without the help of enzymes that they're effectively turned off if the enzyme is not there. And this brings up another important point. Not only do enzymes speed up reactions so that they occur fast enough for them to occur in time for the organism to remain alive, but since they're so slow without the enzyme, this gives the cell, the organism, a way to control whether reactions are occurring or not. So biochemical pathways, there's many, many different biochemical pathways. We're just going to study a few in this unit. It's never appropriate for all available biochemical pathways in a cell to be operating at the same time, especially because some biochemical pathways undo what others do. You wouldn't want to have those both occurring at the same time. So organisms need to be able to control their biochemical pathways, and they're able to do that directly by controlling their enzymes. So enzymes, remember, are proteins, as we just said. What makes any kind of protein, not just an enzyme, work the way it does? The conformation, the particular shape the protein has, is why it works for what it does, including an enzyme. So cells can temporarily and reversibly alter the shape of an enzyme to turn it on or turn it off. And if it turns on, if it's turned on, then that means the biochemical reaction that it catalyzes can proceed. It will turn the reaction on. You turn the enzyme off, and you slow the reaction down so much that it is effectively off. That's how organisms control their metabolism. Okay, let's talk about energy now, starting in slide 2. There's all different kinds of energy in terms of the examples, like mechanical energy and radiant energy from the sun and so on. But there's two major categories of energy based on, I guess it's a functional distinction, and those two categories are kinetic energy and potential energy. You've probably heard these before in high school or whatever. Potential energy is often described by textbooks as stored energy. What that means is that the energy is not being put to use to do some sort of work at the moment, but it is available to do some work if you want to use it. That's why it has potential. Okay, so it's useful stuff. And there's one form of potential energy that we've already talked about in lab and up here. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Gradient.
A gradient is a form of potential energy. So it's not working, it's not being put to use to do some sort of work at the moment, but it can. Kinetic energy, on the other hand, is being used at the moment. And this word kinetic means moving, really. Kinetic art is art that moves, like a mobile, for instance. This is the same root as in cinema, even though it's spelled with a C in cinema, moving pictures. Kinetic energy is often described as energy in motion. So it's energy that is being used. And what the picture here illustrates is that potential energy can readily be converted to kinetic energy and vice versa. So we're talking about a gradient here in this example, but this is not a concentration gradient. This is a gravitational gradient. Some of these people are climbing up the stairs. That doesn't happen for free, right? Because the tendency for movement by gravity is toward the Earth, not away from it. Therefore, you have to put energy into climbing. So you're spending kinetic energy to go to the platform. But the higher you get off the surface, the more you are investing your body with potential gravitational energy. And therefore, if you intentionally jump off, or if you accidentally fall off, it doesn't matter to gravity, you're going to then reconvert that potential energy stored in your body because you're high back into kinetic energy of you falling, moving toward the Earth. So there's a continuous conversion of these energy forms, not just in living things, just in all objects in the universe. Okay, slide 3. Now we need to talk about thermodynamics a little bit. And we're not going to get as deeply into thermodynamics as we could. Thermodynamics is an important branch of science dealing with energy transactions. It's important to biology, but it's important to a lot more than just biology, which is why we're really just going to scratch the surface. But what we see represented here with these photographs, as you see labeled, are two laws of thermodynamics. First and second, the so-called first and second. This is kind of a silly thing, because you would think that the first and second laws of thermodynamics are the first law to be established and the second law to be established, but they're not. There's actually more laws than these two. There's 4 laws, but we're not going to pay attention to 2 of them because they don't apply so directly to biology. But the silly thing is that they're not the first, the second, the third, and the fourth law, because after they had already had the first law and the second law written, they realized that there was something more basic than the first law, and so they didn't want to rename these things that had already been established, so they called that the zeroth law and the third law. So the zeroth and the third law, don't worry about for this course, but we do want to talk about the first and second law. The first law of thermodynamics is often called the law of conservation of energy. Conservation, in this sense, refers to saving, right? Conservation and saving are similar words. But what it means, strictly speaking, in terms of energy, is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. In other words, in the universe, there is a set amount of energy. That total amount of energy is constant. But despite not being able to be created or destroyed, energy can be transformed and transferred. The difference between those is that transformation of energy means that the energy is being converted from one form of energy to another. For instance, in this picture, the body of this prey item that the predator is eating is full of chemical energy in the form of the bonds between the atoms making up this stuff he's eaten. And that can be then converted into energy of motion, allowing him to run, and all kinds of other forms of energy. Or in photosynthesis, which we'll be studying a couple chapters from now, the light energy, which is electromagnetic energy, gets converted into chemical energy by the plant. That's what photosynthesis does. So that's transformation, change in form. Transferring energy means that energy is moving from one object to another. And a good simple example is the